here with Maxigan, and well, first of all, Max, thank you very much for being here. I hope you're doing great. And
I'm doing really well, brother, and thanks for having me on. It's sorry it's taken so long to get the technical details sorted out, but yeah, it's good to come and talk to you.
yeah, it seemed we had some delaying and stuff, but it happens, you know. And if it's all right with you, I'll like to do things, start things in a little bit unorthodox way. That is, you know, maybe we'll introduce you afterwards, but I'd like to get into a little bit into the heart of the matter, which I wanted to discuss. Last time I had Matt Landman on for discussing, you know, probably the most. Actually, the most, you know, dire things and the most grave, the gravest danger that we are in right now. That is, you know, the whole geoengineering agenda. He's a very outspoken activist on that, which is strictly linked to the 5G network agenda and the whole electronic and digital and surveillance that they want to. Lock down this world in, and you are a very outspoken activist on the matter, so I thought about starting right from this point.
Well, yeah, look, 5G and the chemtrailing and everything, it's all tied together. You know, the spraying in the sky, the atmosphere is no longer neutral, it's positively charged. Plus, we're all breathing nanotechnology. You know, a lot of people have getting sort of lung problems and breathing problems, and it's like we're being genetically modified from the inside out through all this nanotechnology. And when you tie it in with the 5G grid, I mean, people think this is being rolled out for faster communication, but it's not. It's not. There's so many things under 5G. There's so much that's possible with this system. I mean, every military application you can think of is possible with 5G. So they're putting this in place right around our cities. And at the same time, I mean, they're telling you that 5G, it's going to go everywhere. All the country regions will have 5G. But in the same breath, they'll tell you that you need to have these posts every 500 meters. So how does this work out? Are they going to put posts every 500 meters going out to the country? It's a bit different to that. You know, if you look at the nanotech that's in the chemtrails and how the air is positively charged, I would suspect that that is what's going to be carrying the 5G signal. And what they're putting in the cities is basically prison fences, because this is an active denial system. You can turn this into an active denial system whenever you want. So, you know, they're basically putting an electronic surveillance system and prison system in place around everybody. And it's incredible. I mean, with 5G, and with the IoT and how everybody's being tracked and the amount of surveillance, now they can virtually target individuals, prevent them from going into certain areas. All sorts of things can come from this 5G. Plus, they could microwave a whole city if they wanted to. You know, and we've seen this, they're testing all this stuff with the energy weapons we're seeing everywhere. There's fires in Greece the other day. The fires in Northern California last year. These are all directed energy weapons. This is all 5G. This is what 5G is capable of. I mean, even if you want to keep that completely separate and look at these things just as being directed energy weapons that have started these fires, well, what's been used to do that is 5G technology, and that's what they're putting in around your cities, and they're masquerading it as a communication system. This is extremely dangerous.
Yeah, in fact, now I just see, you know, people all hungry for this new technology. Unfortunately, hey, we have, and they are, you know, complaining about how slow is, for example, you know, 3G or 4G or even 4G plus, or 4G. I don't know how they call it,
Well, again,
1.5. And they say they
well,
are complaining, hey, we'll need a faster communication. So they are preparing them for, hey, now we have this new 5G, so your communications will be awesome. You can text all day and go to
yeah.
internet.
Well, see, Hegelian dialectic, they let all the old servers get old and break down. They make all your internet connection really bad so that you're going to want this new stuff. It's
Exactly.
Hegelian dialectic, you know, problem, reaction, solution. They do it this way all the time.
Can you explain a little bit, go a little bit into detail on what's an active denial system?
Well, active denial is like microwave cannons. They can target your body. They can have your frequency, pick you out of the crowd, and they can target you for active denial. And they can deny your access to certain areas. They can say, well, this particular frequency can't move through these certain barriers that they can set up. Now, when you look at crowd control with sound cannons, microwave cannons, all these sorts of things, microwave cannons, you feel like your skin's burning. This is all 5G. This is all 5G technology. That's what active denial is. You know, they could, with social crediting, they could say, well, okay, this guy has just said too many things. We've heard that he's got bad political views because we've been listening to him via his clock radio on the conversations he's been having in bed with his wife at night.
Yep.
And we've been listening to him through his refrigerator, through his breakfast conversations as well. And we're checking it out through his TV screen and through his mobile phone. We don't like what he's thinking. So he put black credits up against his name. We've just sent him a text to say, look, we're sorry, but we're limiting your purchasing ability and we're limiting your motion ability. So you can't move certain areas. So you find it, you can't leave your house because if you go outside, there's a 5G grid out there and it's set up as active denial for your person so that your person can't walk through those particular microwave fields. They could do this to everybody. They can target anybody for active denial. If they hear you saying something you don't like or if they see you walking down the street carrying something they don't like, they could target you for active denial, deny your access to motion, and just leave you incapacitated until the police arrive to arrest the criminal. And they won't even have to put you through a legal process because through the social crediting system, the algorithm would have already determined what your penalty is for the infringements that you've done. You've got a particular black mark, which means you are at this level, which means you go to this sentence. It's already predetermined by the algorithm. The cops don't even have to think about it. They just go and arrest the criminal because the algorithm told them to do so. And they don't think, you know, these police aren't trained to think anymore. So, you know, it even does away with the legal system. It does away with the court system, with all of this sort of stuff. You know, this is what they can do with the 5G and the IoT and everything they're bringing online. See, with the IoT as well, the Internet of Things, where everything is digital, you know, you go into a shop and you buy all this stuff. You don't need to see a teller. You just walk out with all the stuff and it deducts it from your bank account. You know, if they say that your person is limited in your purchasing power, then it doesn't matter how much money you've got. It doesn't matter if you can't buy a plane ticket because you're not qualified because of your political views. Then what do? And if they limit your purchasing power, like what they've done in Japan, they've got a social crediting system in Japan. And if you get below a certain point, you're not allowed to buy plane tickets, you're not allowed to buy train tickets, and you're not allowed to rent housing.
What's that, China or Japan?
That's China. Sorry, did I say Japan? China. I meant China. But if you can't rent a house and you can't buy plane or airline tickets, you can't leave the country. If you can't rent a house, well, what happens? You just become undesirable. You can't live anywhere, so you end up in the prison system. So, you know, through active denial, through social crediting, through the IoT, through everything they're bringing online, it gives them the ability to basically squeeze activists out of the social system and send them into the prison system by default, simply by denying them access to basic services. And that's the way they're going with it. And that's what's possible with the whole 5G system.
Yeah, for sure. They have these terrible implications and all this potential. And as you said before, they are probably already testing this stuff on as a weapon system. So for fires, for example, even the Greece fires look very, very suspicious.
They look very, very sus. They look the same as the fires in California last year, the fires that I've just seen in Greece. I just caught that news article tonight after the show. I've been so busy I haven't caught it, but it happened yesterday or the day before.
Yeah.
And yeah, they look exactly the same as the fires in California. You know, all the houses are burnt, the trees aren't burnt. All the plastic swing sets in the yard aren't burnt.
Wow.
Melted. It's destroyed the houses, but it doesn't destroy the plastic swing sets. Why? Because plastic is microwave safe. You know, so you know, you look at these cars are burnt. All the paint's burnt off the cars, but all the plastic fittings are all fine. Why? Because plastic's microwave safe. It's all a microwave weapon. It's a directed energy weapon. Of course it is.
Yeah, and yeah. As also the matter of crowd control with using microwave technology, I don't know if that's been experimented yet in the Western countries. I know they've used, you know, sound cannons and stuff like that, but I think they're probably gonna test this stuff on their favorite testing ground for these kind of weapons, which is Palestine.
Well, they test all their weapons on Palestine. Unfortunately, all of their most violent weapons they test on Palestine. They've got a live target there, you know, caught up in Gaza Strip. Population of children that can't fight back. Really, really disgraceful what's going on in Palestine. It's the greatest moral dilemma that we face. And we need to really pay attention to that situation. I've been an activist for Palestine for many years. And, you know, if we don't free Palestine, the way of Palestine will be the way of the world. I've said that for a long time as well. And it's true. And that's where they test a lot of it. Even the 5G technology, I mean, it all comes out of Israel. Even One Belt, One Road, the Chinese system, Israel's connected to all of this. It's the same people behind the whole thing. You know, so, you know, it's hard to point people in that direction. People get sick of people pointing the finger and saying, oh, it's the Jews, you know. But unfortunately, it is. Unfortunately, it is. They're doing a lot of bad stuff. They've infiltrated everything, and they're playing everybody off against each other. And playing the Christians off against the Muslims, they're playing the blacks off against the whites, they're playing everybody off against each other. That's just what they do. It's just the whole basis of their system.
Yeah, exactly.
And
And I mean, it's all a. They are planning all these huge distractions from the real problem, which is, you know, the spraying, the chemtrails, and the linked with the electronic surveillance and with the building of a prison for this planet.
Well,
And
yeah.
people
See
are,
the,
yeah.
well, the 5G grid, the surveillance system is the new world order. The smart system is the new world order. People aren't seeing it. They think the new world order is going to be something like Terminator or something like Equilibrium or, you know, all these military everywhere. It's not. It's the smart prison. It's the smart grid. That's the new world order.
I agree. People think, you know, soldiers marching with the like the Nazi Germany or something like that. Well, in a way, we are kind of we already got to that point, because I don't know, in Australia probably is the same, but here in Europe they already have militarized, you know, train stations,
Oh yeah,
city centers and stuff like that with the military. I mean, I did that too when I
oh yeah,
was military
I
some years
saw it
ago, so.
everywhere. I saw it everywhere across Europe. Even just wandering around town in Amsterdam, you've got police walking around with AK-47s. You know, full militarized police. All the train stations, all the airports, everything. You know, guys with Steyr machine guns and you know. UN soldiers and stuff everywhere, all through Europe, the whole place. So yeah, it's pretty bad. It's pretty bad, and it's already there. I mean, we're already there. They're just. It's been a very, very gradual process. But the thing is, you know, people are expecting that it's going to be this evil dictator sitting at the top directing the police to do all these things. They're not realizing it's the social crediting system. It's the IoT. It's going to be algorithms. You know, the police will just get this directive that. Okay, this guy's below his social credit points, and they'll just pick you out of a crowd, and they'll just go and arrest you and put you in the smart prison, you know, and that's the way it's going to be. And they won't even know. They won't even question the fact that, you know, there'll be no investigation. It isn't like police going, you know, you report a crime to a police officer, they go and do the investigation to see if the guy's a criminal, then they go and do the arrest the way it used to be. It's not like that anymore. The police are just there to enforce legislation. And when the algorithm tells them that there's a problem, that this person has been blacklisted, then they will see the person in the crowd through their facial recognition glasses, they'll go and get them, and they'll put them into prison. And they don't ask, they don't ever question, there's no legal process, they don't even know what they're doing, it's all compartmentalized. So, you know, that's the way it's going, and people have to really look at it and realize it's sure, there's people that sit at the top, but yeah, even governments, the governments that we can see. You know, even the governments across Europe, like, you know, Merkel and the governments, you know, Trump, all these people, these are just puppets. These are CEOs. Above that is this whole banking cartel, this whole monetary system, which is controlling the whole thing. And it's setting up the algorithm so it can just sit at the back and allow the system to run itself. And they can harvest the people that they want. You know, and anybody that is classed as a criminal will be anybody who thinks the way the system doesn't dictate. So, you know, that's the way it works. Anything outside of the box is criminalized. Any individuality is criminalized. This is the way it goes. So, and it all gets run by algorithms, and that's the new world order. So, you know, the only way to get out of this is for us to, you know, realize where we're being led and to realize that we don't need this smart system. And people have to stand up against the smart meters and the 5G grid. We don't need 5G. We don't need things to be that fast. We really don't. What do we need? We need to download a 90-minute movie in 1 minute for. What's going to take you 90 minutes to watch it? What do you need to download it in a minute for? What's the point? Why do we need everything to be this fast?
Well, I guess because we need to be entertained and distracted all the
it's
time.
It's crazy. With this, it's crazy.
Yeah, with this slavery, this slave life that most people do, so they need their...
That's what it is. It's like baubles on the Christmas tree, isn't it? You know, that people can look at it. It's crazy. It's crazy. People have lost touch with reality. They've lost touch with the world outside. You know, it's all on their smartphone now. It's all on their computer. You know, the dopamine addiction is the problem. You know, every time you click an icon, you get this little dopamine release. They want this stuff. This energy they get from these icons and this pleasure of the virtual world, but they're forgetting the real world around them. You know, and it's leading us away from our humanity, and it's going to get to the point where we're completely dependent upon it, and they just shut us out. You know, it's getting to that way now. You know, even a kid now, I mean, you get to some kid, just the threat of losing your internet connection, being blacklisted on social media or whatever, I mean, this is devastating. This is the end of your life.
Yep.
If you get, you know, lose your likes on Facebook, or you get blacklisted from Instagram or something, I mean... Yeah, this is what life's all about for these people now, and it's very, very sad. But that's how they control you, because once your entire life exists in the virtual world, then all they have to do is threaten you with locking you out of that virtual world. You're going to do anything they want you to do. You know, imagine what it would be like being locked out of social media, not being able to post on Facebook, and not being able to use a credit card. What are you going to do? You know.
Exactly, and that's why people don't think about these issues, this very important issue. I mean, even you know, foreign wars and all this stuff, which in and of itself are other distractions.
But you know, most of them are distractions.
Yeah, but people are dying in the real world for that. So, and we cannot even you know, stop these things which are being exposed, you know, have been exposed time and time again as big giant. Homicidal, genocidal things that they are, and you know. But people say, "Hey, well, you know, it's to fight terrorism, so they'll, you know, just give me my smartphone and fight terrorism, and who cares about."
Yeah, people just read it in the papers. Oh, look, the terrible people over there are doing these terrible things. Isn't it good that our government's protecting us? But they've never been there and looked at it. You know, war is terrorism. You know, war is terrorism. There's no reason for any nation to invade anybody else. And when these countries do go to war with each other, what, they've been at war in Syria for how many years now? What, they want to take out Assad? Why haven't they gone and bombed the presidential palace and just bombed Assad yet? Yeah. They haven't done that. They killed all the people, killed all the infrastructure, destroyed all the ancient temples, all the old bars, all this stuff that was thousands of years old, completely obliterated, turned it to rubble. They haven't gone and dropped a bomb on Assad yet. Hey, we're at war. Let's go and bomb all each other's people, you know. It's a scam. The whole thing's a scam. You know, countries don't go to war. Governments go to war. But they never bomb the governments. They bomb the people. It's a scam. The whole thing's a scam. Always has been. Just so they can lock their citizens down into a police state and put all this fear in people and make us think that we need governments to protect us from the other guys over there who don't want to come and fight us. It's just the governments. And they both collude together to do it. It's a scam, the whole thing. Racketeering. It's a protection racket. That's all it is. It's a criminal cabal that's running an international protection racket disguised as the international government system. That's it. If we didn't have government, we wouldn't have any wars, we wouldn't have any problems. That's the problem, is the fact that government exists and we don't need them. That's the problem.
Yeah, exactly. And that's probably one of the most difficult things to make people understand.
Amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's amazing. I mean, what would we ever do without government? Oh, my God, we'd have no taxes and no wars. Wouldn't it be terrible? What would we ever do? Oh, my God. Think about it, folks. I mean, last year, the U.S. government shut down for 3 weeks. What, did anybody notice? Did anybody notice that they weren't there? All that happened was that there was no new laws came in. There was no new oppression. There was no new wars. Nothing bad happened. Gee, what a shame there was no government there. Oh, the government's back. Now everything's messed up again. Oh, great, they're back. Aren't we safe? No, it's a scam. It's such a scam. It really is. It's incredible. We don't need these people at all. It's racketeering. That's all it is racketeering, pure racketeering. You think about it, back in the old days when there were racketeers, you know, these criminals used to come to your shop and say, hey, look, you've got to pay us this protection money because something bad might happen to your shop. And if you didn't pay them, they'd come around, they'd smash your shop up. Otherwise, you had to pay them the protection money. So the government comes and says, look, you've got to pay us all this money or else you might end up going to war or something bad's going to happen. They'll destroy your house. They'll destroy your business. They'll go put you in a cage if you don't pay them money. It's racketeering. The whole thing is racketeering. It's a protection racket, all of it. It's a scam. And they all work together. All these wars are contrived. And you can tell because the governments never go to war with each other. You know, the Iranian government, the US government going to go to war with each other. They won't bomb the government buildings. They'll go and bomb all the people. The government buildings will be fine. At the end of it, they'll go, oh, look, we'll make peace now. And the two people who started the war are still there. Everybody else died. They got away scot-free. So why didn't they just get into a boxing ring and beat each other up if they got a problem? You know, it's ridiculous. The whole thing is a scam.
And people would say, well, but you don't really live in the real world. You're just, you know, an idealist. You're fantasizing about, you know, it's just the way it is. It's always been like this. It will always be like this. It was always, you know, this way, and it will continue to be. So.
Yeah, they forget that we're dealing with people. These governments are just people. They're actually our employees that we employ to manage infrastructure for us, and they're doing a god-awful job, and all they're doing is facing off against each other and saying, well, I'm angry with you, and you're angry with me, so we're going to kill each other's people until we stop being angry with each other. It's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree 110%. You know, the real challenge will be, well, we really have to wake up to this situation. And sometimes I feel like I'm just banging my head against a concrete wall, but yeah.
Well, it's in explaining it to people in the right way. I mean, if you put it in that way, like the way I just said, you just make it a joke. Point out the obvious to people and just say, look, isn't this ridiculous? I mean, why does this happen? Okay, if our government is going to be going to war with this government, you know, say I'm in whatever, what country are you in? You're in Spain?
No, Italy.
Italy? Well, if you're in Italy, well, I bet the Italian government is probably supporting, you know, the war in Syria.
Yeah, sure.
So, well, hang on, if our government's supporting the war, how come they haven't bombed Assad yet? Why are they just bombing the people? And why are they telling us that we're in threat of terrorism when they haven't bombed any of the organizations that are actually causing the terrorism? They just bomb all the civilians and say, hey, we don't like Assad, so we're going to kill all of his people in order to free them from the tyranny that he is imposing on them, because, of course, they're much better dead. How does this work? I mean, like, why are we doing this? How does it make any sense? If the Italian government wants to really take out Assad, why haven't they gone and bombed Assad's Paris? How come all of Syria has been turned to rubble, but they just seem to have missed the guy that they are apparently trying to kill? How come they killed everybody else but him? Do you think we might be being scammed here? You know, can anybody see a problem with this? I mean, I'm just trying to think logically here. You know, you sort of make it a bit of a joke and sort of look at it that way, and maybe they'll get it. You know, because it's so obvious, it's ridiculous, it's so completely ridiculous. You know, and even the gas attack, the recent gas attack they claimed they had. So what, Syria, Assad's going to gas his people? Like, they were in the middle of peace talks, all the troops were going to leave Syria 3 hours later.
Yep.
And he thinks, okay, good time to gas my own people and cross the red mark, the only red line, which will cause the US to come and bomb me. And Britain to come and bomb me, and everyone to come and bomb me, and to make sure the war escalates. Let's do that. I mean, does people seriously think he would do that? Why would he do that? It makes no sense at all. 3 hours away from absolute peace, all the troops were going to leave. And then suddenly he gasses his own people. Oh, of course he does.
Yeah.
Absolutely ridiculous. I mean, come on, folks. I mean, really, are we that stupid? As soon as they put that story, as soon as the media put that story out and the government promoted that story, I mean, in any intelligent country, there would have been a revolution overnight to say, hey, listen, we know you're liars, but this has just gone too far, okay? You've just crossed the red line in our intelligence. So you've got to wonder why people don't ask these questions. Maybe if you just put it to people that way, maybe they'll get the picture if they really think about it, you know. Pull themselves away from the television long enough to do so, or from their smartphones long enough to do so.
Yeah, that seems to be that seems to be the whole thing. I mean, for us it's very logical, but who knows? I mean, if it was up to me, after 9/11, 2001, there ought to be a revolution in the United States. I mean,
you would think it was pretty amazing. Like, the fact that the buildings came down that quickly, and like as soon as the first one came down, I went, oh, so it's not a terror attack. As soon as it came down, that was what I thought. Oh, okay, this is the event we've been waiting for. You know, because buildings, they don't do that.
Yeah.
Buildings don't do that, especially from fires, like from a plane. And even how did the planes go into the buildings? I mean, planes don't go into buildings like that. It was such a scam. Hollywood stunt. The whole thing was a Hollywood stunt. Yeah.
But, and if you just look at the reason, all becomes pretty clear. You don't have to be an expert.
Yeah, and they put it out. Yes. Well, they even put it out in their own report like 12 months earlier in the Project for the New American Century, where they said we need a Pearl Harbor event. And there we go. 12 months later, you get a Pearl Harbor event, and away they go. They put it in there. They told you they were going to do it. And there they did. And then they go out and attack all the countries that they said they were going to attack. And before the buildings had even come down, before the second building had even come down, they were saying Osama bin Laden, Osama bin Laden. Yeah. You know, and they'd gone and interviewed him in a cave like a month before. You know, the most wanted man on the universe, you know, that no one could get hold of. You know, like the way Bill Cooper did that interview when he said, you know, here's the guy, the most wanted man on earth. And here's the United States with the greatest surveillance system in the history of the world, and they can't find him. And then suddenly, a CNN camera crew waltzes into his camp with a camera crew. This reporter with a camera crew goes and interviews him, you know. So you can be sure this guy's going to be used for some major event in the next month. Bang, 9/11, and then it all happens and Cooper gets killed, you know. Exactly. It was such a scam.
Yeah.
And so obvious. And he died as well. He actually died. It's reported that he died on the, I think it was the 31st of September. Yeah, it was reported in all the Middle Eastern newspapers. Like, he died was in the Pakistani newspapers. The last time he was seen alive was the day before 9/11, when he was, I think, in, might have been Dubai. He was somewhere. I might have that city wrong, but he was visited the night before 9/11 on September the 10th. He was visited by a CIA operative, and he was on a kidney dialysis machine.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And that's the last time he was actually, that's the last confirmed sighting of Osama bin Laden.
Yeah, sure.
And he was reported dead on, I think it was September 31st or December 1st or something like that, in all the Middle Eastern newspapers that he was dead. So, you know, we just didn't hear about it. And then suddenly there's all this rubbish and all, you know, all how he went and got him in Pakistan, rubbish. He'd been dead for 10 years. You know, all these videos coming out, he gets younger and younger and younger in each video. It was a joke, you know. Amazing. The whole thing was a joke.
Okay, so I'd like to get back a little bit on Palestine, if it's all right. I know you were you actually went to Palestine. That's pretty interesting. Also, the way you did, and would you like to talk a little bit about that experience?
It was an amazing experience. It was a life-changing experience crawling through the tunnels into Gaza. We snuck into Gaza. We went through a rebel tunnel. It wasn't the official Hamas tunnels that you hear about. This was a rebel tunnel. It was just a dirt tunnel. It was 50 meters underground. We were crawling on our hands and knees for probably about an hour, hour and a half. A long way. Probably went, you know, a couple of kilometers underground and came up in Gaza, ran around Gaza for 10 days and with a video camera filming everything. Got interrogated, you know, detained and interrogated by Hamas on the way out. But it was a remarkable experience. And I didn't see any terrorists in Gaza. I saw a lot of really, really desperate people. I saw a world of children, so many children in Gaza Strip. Most of the population is children. It's really, really shocking what's going on there. And people don't realize how they're being fooled by what they're being told about Gaza Strip. It's not this hotbed of terrorists. You know, I mean, and even when you look at it, you know, Hamas is an organization, a government that was created by Israel. They created Hamas. And they put Hamas there up as something the Palestinians could vote for in opposition to Yasser Arafat's Fatah party. And then as soon as the people in Gaza voted for Hamas, they declared Hamas a terrorist organization and they closed the borders to Gaza. Now, it's said that Hamas seized control of Gaza. That isn't true. The people voted for Hamas and Fatah in Gaza refused to leave power. And Hamas actually had to go and physically remove them from the building. And weapons were fired, shots were fired. And while that was happening, there were Israeli guards standing on all the corners, right through the Gaza Strip. Gaza was occupied at the time. And there were Israeli soldiers everywhere. And they saw exactly what was going on. They did not intervene to stop any of it. They refused to allow Hamas to take over. Like, they put Hamas in there. And then they refused to allow them to assume power once they were voted in. And they allowed this violence to happen so it would look like Hamas violently seized control. And now, since Hamas has been in power, as soon as they got in power, they closed all the elections down, closed it all down, and said, okay, well, now we rule. And now Hamas sends these rockets over into Israel every now and then, which are steel pipes powered with fertilizer that don't hit anything. They'll kill you if they land on your head.
Yeah.
They'll put a hole in your roof. They'll put a hole in the back window of your car. But they got no warheads. And whenever Hamas fires these rockets over into Israel, it gives Israel the excuse to go in there and do all their weapons testing on Gaza Strip. The whole thing is a scam. Hamas is an Israeli operation run by Israel that gives Israel the excuse to say, hey, we are under threat from terrorism, we need $11 million a day funding, and we can go and test all our weapons on these children who cannot fight back in Gaza Strip. That's what's going on. And it's absolutely ridiculous. And the amount of brutality that the people from Gaza are subject to from the terrorists in Israel, the IDF, which is an army of cowards. It's an army of cowards. And I can identify that every single soldier in the IDF is a coward. They are a coward because you have to join the IDF. If you do not join the IDF, you are deprived citizenship in Israel. And any person who would do that, would go and kill Palestinian children in order to get citizenship, is a coward. You should tell your government to go shove it up themselves. You're going to tell me to go and kill people? You're going to make me a citizen of my own country? I will stand up against you. And if you don't stand up against them and you will comply with that and you go and kill children, then you are a coward. I don't care what you say. You are a coward. Every member of the IDF is a coward because they were coerced into going and killing children for their government. And they did so. And they said nothing about it because they are anti-human and they don't care. They are cowards, every single one of them. And I don't care who says anything about me saying that. Because that's what's going on. It's absolutely atrocious what's going on in Gaza, what's going on in Palestine. The whole thing is an absolute scam. And these people who claim to have rights to the land, they have no claim to the land. They are not the descendants of King David. They're not even real Jews. They have absolutely zero claim to Palestine. You know, these people are Europeans, and they are, even when you look at the Hebrews, if you really want to get into it, you look at who they are and where they come from, you can trace it back to Mesopotamia and Ur when they used to hang around in the markets of Ur when they got the name Hebrew, which is a Mesopotamian word which comes from the word Hibaru, which means those who murder with webs. In other words, those who manipulate and play people off against each other, those who murder by deception. And that is what we've got. And they're even mentioned in the Bible as the Jews who are not Jews but are the synagogue of Satan. That is who is in control of Israel. And it's really, really important that people pay attention to it.
Yes.
And as you can see, I get quite emotional about it. I've got a lot of friends in Gaza Strip. I've had, you know, when they did the invasion in 2014, I had four people die in a week in Gaza Strip. I have very, very dear friends in that place.
You were also, you found yourself, if I'm not mistaken, under an Israeli bombing with airplanes or helicopters, something like
that. Well, there was a rocket attack while we were there. It wasn't in the neighborhood where I was. I was in Gaza City. They bombed the northern part of Gaza City. You did hear a couple of rockets go off, but they didn't actually mount a full attack against Gaza. But we do hear, you know, planes fly across at 4 o'clock in the morning. They fly very, very low. like 4 o'clock in the morning, they'll send jets over Gaza Strip, and you'll get a sonic boom right across the whole place. They do that just to terrorize you, because you think they're going to bomb you when they do it.
Yeah, exactly.
And yeah, there was a couple of rocket attacks up north while I was there.
I mean, and then that's, you said, you know, they do it for to terrorize the people. I mean, and that's their whole, really, that's the whole way they're conducting themselves there, the Israelis. Just, you know, it's a huge terrorism. I mean, if somebody wants to define terrorism, for me, go look at the way Israel
go to Palestine. You want to experience terrorism, go to Palestine. Go spend a week in West Bank. Wait till the Israeli people come over and they spray your house with raw sewage infused with sulfur.
Wow.
Terrorize the school children on the way to school. Just give them a hard time just for the sake of it. And you're going to go to work in Israel. You've got to get up. It might take you up to 6 hours to get through the checkpoint to get into Israel just to get your work, just to get there so you can pick up your slave wage. You know, it's absolutely incredible what they have to go through. The terrorism that they're subject to, you know, children are imprisoned and taken to military prisons. There was one young boy from Gaza Strip who wanted to be a soccer player.
Hmm.
Wanted to be a soccer player. He's out there practicing to be a soccer player. So an Israeli sniper shot him 7 times in 1 foot, 4 times in the other foot, virtually shot the kid's feet off. You know, your 14-year-old kid wanted to be a soccer player. What sort of a coward, what sort of a sadist, what sort of a psychopath shoots a child's feet off?
Pure psychopathy.
You know,
yeah.
What can you even say about the mentality of this? And you want me to support the state that supports these people, that a soldier can do this and face no recourse for his actions and actually get said he's a brave Jewish soldier? No, he's not. He's a child-abusing coward. If he wasn't a coward, he wouldn't be in the IDF to begin with. You know, so, and not only is that, he's a child abuser. And he's a cowardly child abuser. He can't even get a gun and go down there and shoot him in his face. He's such a coward, he's got to do it through a scope as a sniper. These people actually, they need to be flushed down into a storm drain. They really do. They really do. These sorts of people, they have no right to call themselves human. People who do that have no right to call themselves human. And when you've got politicians who support a state that does this, how on earth can you say your government in Italy or Australia or any government that supports the state that is doing this is a legitimate government? They're not. They're a government that is supporting child abuse and terrorism. They're an abusive office. They need to be removed and locked up in a jail immediately, every single one of them. Every politician that supports this state needs to be put in jail immediately, because all of them are child abusing terrorist killers, all of them. All of them are psychopaths. If they weren't, they would not be supporting a state of Israel, which is built on terrorism and founded on a lie. Simple as that.
Yeah, and that's pretty much every Western country. And no matter who's in power, and left, right, or whatever fake fake paradigm you want to attribute to,
absolutely,
to the various parties, but they all, that no matter what, even here, when they'll go up on stage and talk, they'll absolutely say, oh, we support Israel, you know.
They get up and they lie through their teeth, and they get up and they say, we support child abuse because we are psychopaths, and no one reads between the lines because they all have Stockholm Syndrome. That's the problem with the world. We got a nation of Stockholm Syndrome, and the ones that aren't in Stockholm Syndrome are all kept in fear of what might happen if they were to say the right thing. It's just disgraceful.
Yeah, and
I don't really care. I have no stake in the outcome.
Yeah, sure.
I fear it's far, far easier to get forgiveness than permission, so I just do it anyway.
Well, we need more people.
I get very emotional about it, though. I really do. Even when you start talking about Palestine, when I really start thinking about it, as you can tell, I get very, very emotional about it. You know, I met some beautiful people when I was in Gaza Strip, some of the most beautiful people I've ever met in my life. They're almost childlike with their innocence, the Palestinian people, and they have absolutely no defense against what's happening to them, and they have no voice. No one will speak for them, and it's disgraceful. And I will always speak for them. I speak for them every talk that I do, every opportunity that I get, I will speak up for the Palestinian people. You know, I don't contact them as much as I used to. I don't answer their calls as much as I used to, because it pains me. I cry sometimes. I can't have the same conversation over and over again and say, yeah, I'm going to come and see you, and yeah, we're going to get you out. And it's been 6 years since I was there, and I still haven't got anybody out. I still haven't been there. I can't give them false hope.
Yeah.
And I as much as I try, I just can't seem to get there. And sometimes it just becomes too painful for me to even stay in contact with the people that I love so much in there, because I can't deal with their suffering, you know. You know, they're stronger than I am, and they're the ones in there that are taking it, and they are stronger than I am, which is a real credit to the strength and resilience and beauty of these people.
Yeah, they are, you know, incredible. I think I'll go, you know,
They used to say Palestinians are like heroes. Now they say heroes are like Palestinians.
Hmm. Well, to live in those kind of conditions, you have to be, you're not an average guy, you know.
Yeah, incredible people, and the world needs to pay attention. And yeah,
what do you think about? Because I mean, at least here in my country, but also in Europe in general, I noticed when I was, you know, younger and going to high school and this sort of stuff, there were a lot of demonstrations like for Palestine, etc. People going out with their you know, keffiyehs and stuff and say, you know, free Palestine and whatnot, and it took probably not even 5 years, and these people are now not giving a damn, and just
smartphones.
Yeah.
It's the internet, it's Facebook, it's all this stuff, it's the tech.
Yeah.
Netflix, Instagram.
Yes. Well, we always go back to the same topic, because those things serve to also to distract you from these things, from actual, you know, genocide, ongoing genocide and brutality.
And well, yeah, you know, people think they can't do anything about it because there's just so much everywhere. It's, you know, Yemen, you know, Syria, you know, Iran, Iraq, Afghanistan, Palestine. It's just another one, isn't it? You know.
Yeah, I don't know if most people know about Yemen.
Yeah, they probably don't. A lot of people don't even know America's at war with Somalia.
Wow.
A lot of people don't even know that America's at war with Somalia. I've been at war with Somalia for, what, four years or 5 years now. A lot of Americans don't even know they're at war with Somalia. And the Somalias, they're a big threat to America. You know, they're going to get out there and throw bones at the ships going past or something. Yeah. I don't know what the hell they are. But, real threat to the United States. Of course, we need to go and bomb them, you know.
Yeah, sure. Otherwise, Max, otherwise they'll come here and you know, invade us and plant their black flag in Rome. And
oh yeah, of course. Well, Somalia would do that. The mighty military they have—it's a huge threat to the United States, of course. Yeah.
Well, but they'll send the migrant waves in. So
that's what I mean. They're throwing bones. They're throwing those. throwing rocks at the ships they're going past. It's terrible. Yeah.
I mean, it's just amazing how people want to, you know, stop the boats, stop migration, and they don't. But you say, well, you know, the reason for that, oh, you know, that's not my problem.
Well, even the migration, that comes back down to the Kalergi plan to genocide the people of Europe through mass migration. It comes back to a Jewish plan again. It's the same people, you know. Now, what we've got to realize is that we're the ones who hold the system up. We support the whole thing.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, we could pull our support from it, put our support towards each other, and the whole system would collapse because it's all fiction anyway. Now, people just got to realize that it's racketeering. What we perceive to be governments is an international criminal cabal masquerading as government. We don't need government. We don't need these people. You know, they create all the problems that we have in the world today. And you might debate that and say, oh, no, it's corporations and this. Well, you know, all the things that corporations do, they get away with because it's legislated that they can do it. You know, all the problems are legislated to be that way. We can't do anything about it because we've got to jump through all these hoops and red tape and all these legal avenues rather than just going and fixing the problem. If the government wasn't there, we would just go and fix the problem. But the government's there, so we've got to go through all these hoops and sign all these forms and do all these things and fill out all this stuff and wait for all these people to do all this stuff. It's ridiculous, you know. It's a ridiculous situation, and the situation is put there to protect the criminals at the top who are running the show and to make sure we can't do anything about it. And we are the ones that work in the system to hold it up because we have to pay to be alive. We've got to go and collect this paper so we can get this stuff. Oh, we don't want to lose our jobs, but do what the government says or we won't get paid, won't have a roof. You know, it's ridiculous. It's just so ridiculous. It's borderline, like a Keystone Cops, like theatrical show. It really is. It's almost like a C-grade movie. It's not even a B-grade movie anymore.
No, exactly. You know? No, not even.
As soon as people realize we're the ones who hold it up and we actually don't have to do any of this stuff, and all these people that are always so busy running around doing all this stuff, they're actually doing nothing. They're doing nothing of importance at all. They're right late for this and late for that and running around doing all this stuff that needs to be done. None of it needs to be done. It's all completely irrelevant. It's all a complete distraction from living your life. You know, and once people realize that, maybe we'll get somewhere. But, we're pretty well far down the on the treadmill now. People are so locked into this system. I don't know how much it's going to take. I mean, I'm seeing people that are getting it. Even in like supermarkets and stuff, people are just sitting there looking blankly at me saying, what the hell am I doing here? You know, this is just stupid. Why do I do this with my life? Now, a lot of people are thinking this now, so that's kind of a good sign. Whether that's an awakening, that's another thing. But I guess it's a level of awakening, so that's probably a good thing. But a lot of people are seeing it that the world's just a joke, so that's got to be something.
Yeah, no. Lately, I was, talking to someone, and because... it is for certain a plan that they have to like shut down every small business, every small entrepreneur, something, and things like that. And
they'll move it all into one big. You know, eventually you'll have one company running everything.
Yeah, exactly.
You
know? But the problem is, people want to. They say, well, we need more small business owners and stuff like that, but we need to do it. They don't understand that they need to do that. They need to start doing that outside of the rules that are put in place by the system. Otherwise, they're going to. Otherwise, there's no use because the system wants them, to close off and to.
Well, yeah, even when they're embracing the smart system, they want to embrace the smart system, but they want small businesses. But the small businesses won't be able to afford to get all this smart tech in their shop. So eventually they're all going to be shopping at Amazon. Exactly. Eventually you'll go buy your house at Amazon. You go buy your house, go buy your wife at Amazon. Go buy your robot wife at Amazon. Go buy anything you want at Amazon. It'll all be Amazon. Amazon will run the whole thing, So, they say they want to support this, but they want the convenience of the smart tech as well.
Yeah.
Well, the smart tech's leading you into the slavery system. The smart tech is the slavery system. You can't have the best of both worlds. If you're going to give all your life skills away, even the skill of opening your wallet and pulling money out and reading what it says on that says 5 and that says 10 euro or that says 20 euro, even that skill, you don't even want to have that skill anymore. You don't even have the most basic of knowledge of how to do anything, and you just give yourself to this system. But you'll say, "Oh, we need these small businesses." Yeah, right. Sure, you do. What you need to do is become a human being again and act the way human beings do. And if you're not going to do that, then you're just going to let yourself get led into this tech. And don't say you want anything else because it's determined by your actions. And people can say what they want, but ultimately, it's not what you say; it's what you do. And if people are going to let themselves get led into this and use this tech, then they're just giving themselves away. It's back in the old days when people started giving their life skills away. When they started inventing cake mixers, when they first put cake mixers on the market, and the women wouldn't buy them because they felt guilty about not making the cake themselves. And then Edward Bernays said, get them to add an egg. Then they'll feel like they're cooking something. And as soon as they got that, you got to add an egg to the cake mixer, and the cake mixers started selling. It's just propaganda, just training people into giving away their skills by making it attractive for them to do so, making them think that they're doing things a different way than what they are, and just lead them into this world where you can just shut them out. Take everything from them and then just shut them down. It's got to the point now that nobody really knows how to do anything. And if they do know how to do anything, they only know how to do one thing. This is what all the trade system was about. Get a trade. get a trade, become a carpenter or become a mechanic or become this or become that. Don't learn how to do everything, just learn how to do one thing. But even if you're a mechanic or a carpenter or this, well, you won't know how to go and mill the wood, or you won't be able to know how to make the metal or do anything. You might know how to fix the car, but you won't know how to build the car. You won't know how to extract the metal, but you won't know how to do this or do that, but you don't know how to do one part of it. You know, so everybody gets compartmentalized and everybody loses their skills of how to, you know, do everything, normal basic life skills that we had. You know, and back in the old days, a normal person would go out in the world, he'd be able to do everything. You'd be able to go out in the country, you'd be able to hunt, you'd be able to collect your food, grow your food, build your house, collect your water, do anything you wanted to do. You could go out and be completely self-sufficient just on your own because you had basic life skills, and those are the skills you needed to have a life. Now most people don't even know how to write their name. You know, even if someone got arrested now, taken to the police station, got given their one phone call, how many people even know a phone number anymore? Their smartphone dials have fallen. They don't even know a phone number. They don't even know how to write properly. They don't know how to dig a garden. They don't know how to do anything. You know, so you can see where we're all being led. You know, this whole smart system, it's not smart for us. It's smart. The system is smart, but we're not smart. We've lost all of our skills and we've given them all over to the system. That's a huge problem.
Yeah, for us, it's a dumbing down system. And, well, they say, you know, progress is unstoppable, but I just think this is not progress. This is going back. And when you see that, you need to stop and take a step back and think about a better kind of technology that is less harmful and less dehumanizing.
Yeah, it's not progress at all. It's degression, not progression.
Yeah. So, well, Max, is there something that you want to add? Saying before we close this. I know you're touching on ancient history topics lately, so I don't know if you want to add something along those lines or whatever you feel like.
Yeah, it's been interesting going back down the ancient history adventure, the rabbit hole. This is what got me started. Ancient history is what got me started on this whole quest. And there's been so much new information come out lately that kind of drew me back in. And it's all connected anyway. And really, with the research that's come out of and Anatoly Fomenko recently. And like a lot of the stuff that he's put in his books, I don't agree with. Some of the dates he's postulated for certain things, you know, these are possible, but maybe not. But the thing is that he's pointed out that there's at least 1,000 years that's been added to our timeline. It's completely out. And he's about the fourth or fifth scholar to do this over the years. Like Newton's done this. There was a couple of other scholars who did this as well. And Fomenko's put forth a pretty comprehensive expose of how it's been done. And even though he's got some mistakes probably in there, that's quite understandable. You know, people are going to do this, but it's really confirmed for me that our history is completely wrong and that there was an ancient worldwide civilization that existed up until not too long ago and that it's been purposefully expunged from history and that all of our history is wrong. It's all fake. The whole thing's fake. You know, there was no Roman Empire. Yeah, there was a Roman civilization, but it wasn't the Roman Empire that rise through all the Caesars and all that stuff. It's all fabricated. The whole thing's fabricated. Yeah, that's what the evidence would suggest anyway. There was a culture that existed, was a worldwide culture. There appears to have been a worldwide root language, which was Magyar, as it's pronounced properly, which is related from Hungarian.
Yeah.
This goes about all the tribal cultures. They all seem to be related to Magyar. And when you look at that being related to the Magi, you know, and you can trace this back to a lost civilization, the lost civilization we've all been looking for, whether it's Atlantis or Lemuria or Hyperborea or whether they're all related or whatever, who knows, but... You know, there's every indication that there was a lost culture and it was a white race that came out and did this. See, it's really hard to trace the history of the white race. And something that I've really found is that if I try to do this, if I mention anything at all positive about the white race or the possibility that there was an ancient culture that had advanced technology, if I mentioned they may be white, then I get attacked from every single quarter you can think of. Okay. So I'm thinking, oh, there's a lot in this because obviously no one wants me to look at this. So I guess I'm over the target. You know, because I can defend any other race except the white races, because you know, the white races have been set up to, we're the ones who did everything wrong. We went out and destroyed the world. But it wasn't the race. It was the psychopaths who control the race.
Exactly.
So how's it all been set up? And when you go back to the, look at the Jewish problem, how these people play people off against each other, and you see even the slave traders, with the animosity between the blacks and the whites. I mean, this goes back to the slaving. Who started the slave trade? Well, it was Jews. They ran the whole slavery system. You had black leaders selling black people into Jewish slavers who went and sold them to white people.
Yeah, that's right.
So why have the white people got the blame for the slave trade when it was the blacks and the whites and the Jews that were all involved? Why has it just been the white people? Just the white people. It's just the Europeans. The Europeans wouldn't have gone and done it. The Jews set them up to do any all this stuff. The Jews set up World War One and World War Two. This whole thing's been a play. You know, and like I said, you take it back to ancient Mesopotamia. These people that has the Hibaru, you know, those who murder with the webs. These people have been kicked out of 162 countries 198 times because they get in there and they undermine everything. And it's not all of them. There's just this mafia that exists within this group, which just does this stuff. You know, why they do it, I don't know, but they do it. So you know, we've got to pay attention to this. So. You know, but the vitriol that I've received for even suggesting that there may be something positive in the history of the white races has been incredibly revealing. He's not, apparently not allowed to look down this rabbit hole. Apparently, if you say anything positive about white people, you're a racist, which is kind of remarkable because every race is encouraged to look for their roots and to say something positive about their roots. But if you're a white person, you're a racist if you do that. And I don't understand it because I've been an activist for all races. I mean, I'm a Noongar man. I've spoken out for Palestine. I've spoken out for all people of all races. I've been an activist. I've traveled all the way around the world. I've done everything I can for everybody that I can. I don't have a problem with any race. So why am I taught to disrespect my own? And it's been an interesting pathway to go down. So that's what I've been exploring lately. And it's been very revealing, very revealing.
Yeah, well, I guess, you know, that's just another way to put us against one against each other. If you say something positive about the white race, then you're a racist, and then this only enforces
divide and conquer. But you've got to look at it. Why is it just the white people? Why can't I speak out, say positive things about everybody but the white people? And when you realize the world is not run by races, the world is run by psychopaths. So yeah. Why was the white race set up as the ones to go and do this? They could have set any race up to do this. Why was it the white people? Because they want the white people to be hated. You know, so and even the racial guilt that a lot of white people have because of what the white races have done. But again, it wasn't the races, it was the governments that control them. So, you know, even you look at Idi Amin, he killed a lot of his own people. You're going to blame all the black people for what Idi Amin did. So, you know, if all the world is a stage and everything is a play, then why have we been taught to hate the white people? Why have we been given this racial guilt?
Because the important thing.
Because when you feel guilty, you allow yourself to be victimized. You allow things to be done to you. You allow yourself to be exterminated because it's just. It's okay. Oh, gee, we did terrible things. But no, you didn't do terrible things at all. There may have been leaders who did, but it wasn't you. So why do you feel guilt? You know, what's this all about? Why is this being done? Why is this psychological operation happening?
Yeah.
You know, that's what I've been exploring anyway.
And if I might say one thing. If you don't want to feel guilty, stop obeying what these psychopaths are telling you, are ordering you. That's quite simple.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I don't feel guilt. I don't feel guilt, but I know that I'm supposed to because I see it everywhere. It's projected on me all the time, racial guilt. I don't feel guilty. But, you know, I can see that there is this general racial guilt that's going on, and I can see that it's a program, so I've got to ask why. What's behind that? What's the purpose of it? Because it's a play. So it isn't just that the white races did these things. Sure, the white races did a lot of bad things, but it wasn't the races. It was those who control them. But what is the purpose of the racial guilt? It's because it's a play. It's a program. Why? You know. So that's what I've been asking. But apparently, even for asking that, I'm a racist if I ask that question. That's what I've been getting, amazingly, from black people. I've got so many black friends. I've, you know, it's been amazing, really, to see what happens if I go down this particular pathway. You know, it's like when they told me I couldn't investigate the Holocaust, so I did, and then I found out it was all rubbish. They should never have told me I couldn't investigate it. If they hadn't told me I couldn't investigate it, I never would have looked, and I would have believed them. You know, that's what has brought the whole Israeli system undone, the whole fake Holocaust undone, is the fact that they told us we couldn't look. They legislated to say, no, no, don't go there. And oh, really?
Now you can also be thrown in jail in some places.
Exactly, which means you should go there. Yes. If they're going to legislate against this, then you should look at it. Because truth does not fear investigation. Truth does not require legislation to bolster it. Truth stands as its own defense. If you need legislation to bolster the truth, then it's not the truth. You know, that's pretty simple. But it was the fact that they said I couldn't look at it that made me look at it. I got all these books on reconnaissance. I got all the aerial shots. I went and visited all the death camps. I went everywhere. I went, hey, wow, it's all bullshit. What do you know? You know?
Yeah, I mean, that's a whole other topic in and of
that's
itself.
A whole, that's a whole other topic. Other,
yeah.
I kind of cut loose on that with this week's show that I just put out a couple of hours ago. I'll probably get a bit of flack for that one, but I definitely gave the Holocaust a serve on that show.
Well, I surely listen to it after this.
I'll have to watch out next time I come to Europe. You can get arrested for doing those sorts of things.
Yeah, in some places, yeah. And luckily for now here not, but who knows.
they're probably working on it, brother.
Yeah, they're working on it. They're working on many things. And so, Max, if people are interested in your work, where can they find information about you and what you do and your shows and the whole thing?
You'll find everything about me at thecrowhouse.com. You'll find links to my YouTube channel, all my videos, everything there. There's a couple of thousand pages on that website now. It's a huge website. It's all free. There's no subscriber section. It's all there. The archives going way, way back. There's hundreds of hours I've been talking about all this stuff. So enjoy it and share with your friends and get it out to people and let's change the world.
Yeah, let's get working toward that goal.
And, yeah. Pleasure to come on and talk to you, brother. Pleasure to come on and have a chat to you. Sorry about the technical problems. I actually had to build a new computer from the last time we tried to chat because my motherboard melted down. So that was the problem. So.
Oh, yeah. You told me. No problem at all. And, thank you. Thank you very much for having me here. I appreciate it. And, see you maybe on another occasion.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. Happy to come and have a chat with you anytime.
Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye.